Welcome to Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking newspaper. This is edition number 1996, recorded on Thursday, the 1st of February 2018, bringing you news and information from your local Norwich Evening News. At the end of this recording, you will have Chat Around, brought to you by Marjorie Ead and her team. I am Bridget Cook, and I am joined by Nigel Howard.
Thank you, Bridget. We do hope you enjoy our Chatterbox news. Along with our news items, we have two features, one on the amazing life and travels of Bishop Sheepshanks and the other on how important Valentine's Day was in the city and county. We have letters to the Evening News and Information Desk. Our first news stories include an adventurous couple who have built their own plane and film education activities that are to be scaled back at Cinema City. But first, the community looks to have its say over plans for Anglia Square.
Controversial proposals for the future of Anglia Square and what the community nearby want to see happen there will come under the spotlight. Developers Western Homes and Columbia Threadneedle revealed how they plan to revamp the shopping centre with up to 1,350 homes built above new shop units and a new public square. The current Anglia Square would be demolished with a new multi-storey car park, a new cinema and, one of the most contentious ideas, a 25-storey tower block. The Norfolk Association of Architects will be working with the St Augustine's Community Together Residents Association, the Cathedral, Magdalene and St Augustine's Neighbourhood Forum Steering Group and Civic Watchdog, the Norwich Society. The architects will help the community to illustrate their issues, concerns and aspirations for the area through drawings and diagrams to help gauge an idea of what people in the area want.
The victim, who was reportedly stabbed in the back in an attack which saw armed police sent to a Norwich street, has been arrested. Armed police were called to Gertrude Road in the north of the city after reports that a man in his 20s had been stabbed. That man was taken to the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital following the attack. Police said he had suffered serious injuries but that he was in a stable condition. And they also said that the man had been arrested on suspicion of assault and of being involved with the supply of Class A drugs. Police also revealed that the suspect they arrested in connection with the stabbing, a man in his 30s, is himself in hospital. That man is at Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge, where he has been treated for a head injury. While he awaits an operation, police have de-arrested him, although officers are continuing to investigate the circumstances. Gertrude Road was partially shut following the stabbing.
A former driver had an emotional retirement after his work colleagues raised hundreds of pounds for a charity close to his heart. Christopher Ransom, 65, from Rackheath, had been a lorry driver for Dewson in Hoveton for 27 years before leaving the company in the new year. Instead of buying a gift, his former work colleagues, Dewson customers and friends and family raised £430 in a week for Macmillan Cancer Support.
A vision for a new hub to give schools the tools to cut permanent exclusions has been launched in Norwich. The Nurture Group Network, NGN, took the first steps towards opening its Norwich Nurture Hub, based at the Turner Road Centre. The initiative will see schools sign up to packages of ongoing support from the hub, which, the team hopes, will see Norfolk's high rate of permanent exclusions brought down. If crisis support is needed, schools will be able to refer pupils on for sessions in the hope that they can be quickly moved back to classes. Dignitaries and members of the community attended a launch event at the site, which is shared with Wensum Junior School. Jenny Barnacle, hub director and a former head teacher, said, "The thing that really struck us all in the team was that everyone who came along really understood the vision and what we are trying to achieve."
Film education activities and courses are set to be scaled back at Cinema City throughout this year after changes to the education programme at the Norwich venue. Cinema City Limited, the charity of which Cinema City Education is a part, has announced in a statement that the decision has been made to enable it to remain sustainable for the long term. Cost pressures and the need to pay off the final tranche of the costs of the 2007 capital redevelopment project, which turned the cinema into a three-screen digital complex, have been given as the reason for the latest changes, which have resulted in the education manager and two part-time education officers' roles being made redundant. A Cinema City Limited statement said it planned to launch a much more ambitious programme of education activities from April 2019. And until then, some film education activities would continue, although on a reduced scale. It said the charity will still be running previously advertised and booked film courses and will continue to deliver the successful Moving Memories programme.
Police had to close a section of the A11 after finding a seriously deep hole. The hole was discovered on the left-hand lane of the A11 northbound at Beesthorpe. Police used a vehicle and cones to temporarily block off the hazard, and Highways England were called to repair the damaged surface. The right-hand lane remained open to traffic, but police asked drivers to approach the area safely and slowly.
Lidl could be the next tenant in Taverham, subject to a stringent list of restrictions being demanded by Norwich City Council. Back in January 2014, Retail Development was given the green light for land at Fir Covert Road, with plans for a supermarket and retail centre approved. But Norwich City Council launched a legal challenge, citing the fact government guidelines state the retail vitality of a town or city centre, in this case Norwich, should be paramount, and that cannot be undermined by having other competing products on the edge of town. Despite approval of the application, the site did not become viable and the planning permission lapsed. Lidl has now stepped in and is proposing to build its own superstore at the site. The supermarket, which is almost half the size of the store in the original application, will include 129 car parking spaces and could create up to 40 jobs. The plans also seek permission for a 35,000 square feet lifestyle leisure unit featuring a cooking school, outdoor clothing shop and office, a fast food restaurant, a public house or restaurant, an 18,460 square foot retail unit. But Norwich City Council are maintaining an objection to the scheme. Planning officers at Broadland District Council are recommending the scheme be approved when it comes to committee, subject to a number of conditions.
A globe-trotting couple with a spirit of adventure took the idea of a trip around the world to the next level when they built their own aeroplane. Sylvia Foster, 60, who is originally from Norfolk, and her husband Brian, a 67-year-old retired pharmacist, spent about 2 years building their plane before setting off on their epic trip. They started from their home in Port Alfred, South Africa, and their 32,428-mile journey lasted 160 days and saw them travel to places including Tanzania, Iceland, the United States, New Zealand and the Seychelles. Oh, and they also stopped off in Norwich. Mrs. Foster, who moved to South Africa in 2010, said, "It started off, we were going to buy an aeroplane in America and fly it back to South Africa. And then we thought, if we are going to fly back to South Africa, we might as well do a world trip. And it snowballed from there. We couldn't find the plane we wanted, so we ended up building one." Their first flight was on May 31st last year from Port Alfred to Pilensberg, and the flights that followed ranged from one of less than half an hour from Kilimanjaro to Arusha in Tanzania to one of more than 14 hours from Merced, California, to Honolulu, Hawaii. We went to 23 countries and 43 airports and did 52 flights over 160 days, said Mrs. Foster. On July the 2nd, they landed in Norwich and they stayed 10 days to visit friends and family in Norfolk. They crossed the finish line on their adventure on November the 6th last year when they touched down on the runway at Port Alfred.
Thousands of people have signed a petition calling for a stall which is used as a soup kitchen to be saved. The future of one of Norwich's two Hay Hill stalls was thrown into doubt when Norwich City Council initially said it was proposing to permanently remove the larger stall off Haymarket because of its age and condition. It was used by a trader during the daytime, but in the evenings, several different groups use it free of charge to distribute food to homeless, elderly and vulnerable people. The council appeared to soften its stance. A spokesman said, "One of the stalls can continue to be used by food distribution organisations during the night. However, the second stall is now at the end of its life. We will review the stall's condition and look again at the cost of repair. If the stall can't be repaired, we will work with the food organisations concerned to ensure they have a suitable facility so they can continue to work on Hay Hill."
A retired teacher has lost his long-running battle against the Broads Authority, that's BA, over the payment of tolls. Alan Fry, who lives on a boat on the Norfolk-Suffolk border, was ordered to pay the authority 2 years' outstanding tolls amounting to just over £1,000 by Norwich magistrates. He was also fined £100 for each of the 2 years and £200 costs. Fry, 68, had earlier argued that he was not liable to pay the full toll amount as his houseboat was moored permanently in a private marina at the Waveney River Centre and he did not actually use Broad's waters. He said he did not receive the same services that boats using the navigable area of the waterways received and therefore should only be charged reasonable administrative expenses relating to registration and boat safety. Fry's battle with the BA began in 2012 and the case has since gone before the lowest and the highest courts in the country. While he has represented himself, the Broads Authority has spent tens of thousands of pounds on legal fees in fighting the case. A spokesman said, "The most significant cost associated with Mr. Fry's prosecutions followed his decision to bring an unsuccessful appeal to the High Court. It was ruled that the tolls for his houseboat were lawful and at a separate hearing that the charges were reasonable. Despite this, Mr. Fry still refuses to pay this year's annual toll for his boat. Fry said he planned to appeal."
A brave police officer who chased down five motorcyclists in a 150-mile-per-hour pursuit over 4 miles of the A47 has said the risk they posed to others left him no choice. Last year, PC Mark Carter, a member of the Norfolk Road Casualty Reduction Team since its inception, said it was only the second time in his two-decade career as a Rhodes policing officer he had been forced to hit such extreme speeds. Speaking after the conviction of the five bikers, he said there had been too much of a risk to others for him not to reach more than 150 miles per hour in their pursuit. The group, who have since been convicted of driving at excess speed, were recorded travelling 140 miles per hour in the 70 miles per hour limit. "They were all compliant when they stopped and said it had been a moment of madness," added PC Carter.
The family of Kerry McCauley have been praised by the Domestic Abuse Minister for the great work in trying to raise awareness to prevent other women becoming victims. Miss McCauley, 32, suffered 19 separate injuries to her head and face following a sustained and brutal attack by serial abuser Joe Story, who then left her to die alone in her Norwich home in January last year. Following her murder, Miss McCauley's family, together with Norwich North MP Chloe Smith, have been fighting to get legislation changed to try to help other abuse victims and prevent further tragedies. The family, including Mother Leslie, raised the tragic case with Victoria Atkins MP when they met with the minister in the city. Mrs. Atkins, who is preparing a new domestic violence and abuse bill, said, "This has been an incredibly moving but also a really informative meeting here in Norfolk. I've had the opportunity to meet Kerry's family, which was a great privilege, not just in terms of them being able to find the strength to talk to me about their experiences, but also, of course, the great work they are doing along with your newspaper and Chloe Smith, the local MP, to try to ensure that victims of domestic abuse are supported and that we tackle domestic abuse, the causes of domestic abuse, and ensure that perpetrators are brought to justice."